This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamotu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today we have with us
Mike Lawrence,
Anne Weir,
and Jane Bolton,
and I'm Stuart Burks. Now, we're sitting around a table and it's just coming up to the Christmas New Year period, so we thought it might be interesting to see how people view Christmas and New Year. Has it changed a lot?
Well, Christmas was never a big thing in our family. I certainly didn't believe in Father Christmas, although it was helpful to do so if you wanted some presents. And as a kid, I couldn't believe that a large, rotund guy with a lot of clothes on could get down the chimney, and let alone the reindeer, etc. So that's part of the reason why I didn't understand or believe that there really was a Father Christmas. But of course, I wanted the presents, so when I went to bed on Christmas Eve, or the night of Christmas, I would keep one eye open and pretend to be asleep, and my mother would bring in some presents and leave them by the bed, and I would look with one eye open pretending to be asleep, but as soon as she turned her back, of course I'd hop out of bed and see what I'd been left. But as life went on and we had children, well, I don't believe in deceiving children, so we never made a big thing of Christmas with the children, and but they still appreciated, of course, the festivities surrounding Christmas and getting their gifts.
Probably very much similar sort of situation, but we always had to put the Christmas cake out for Father Christmas by the on the hearth, and in the morning there was always sooty fingerprints on the glass and the plate, and so that was one of my lovely memories of Christmas. I mean, even by the time we got to the point where, because I'm younger sisters who still believed in Father Christmas, and I got past that point, but still enjoyed the sooty fingerprints. It was fun things for me.
I think our Christmas was very traditional. My mother, my parents were English, and they were very traditional. Well, my father hated it, actually, and he wouldn't appear from down at the farm till the last minute, so we'd opened our presents. And we couldn't open our presents until we'd been to church in the morning and we'd done all the chores, all the dishes, the beds were made, the dishes were done, the animals were fed, and then we were allowed to open our presents.
But you didn't get a stocking?
Oh, sorry, we did get stockings, yes. They came in, we don't know how they came in, but they were there in the morning. And there was always an old sock it wasn't too old, with an orange in the bottom and a few things with lots of wrapping paper. Mm-hmm. I was one of six, so there wasn't a lot to go around, and it was hugely exciting and very traditional.
As was always cherries, not the orange. We always had cherries at Christmas time.
No, we always had an orange, yes. Yeah, and our prezzies were like sellotape or some scissors or so, always something useful, nothing trivial, always useful. But it was very traditional.
Yeah.
And we loved it. Six children, and we just... It was the most exciting time.
Yeah. And we had pillow slips, not stockings.
Wow!
Oh, did you? No, we only had old socks.
Yeah, I see in the shops now where you can buy the sort of Christmas stocking, they're much bigger than the socks were.
Yeah. Yes, I was always there.
But we had a present under the tree, though. We had one present each under the tree. That was the big one.
Did you buy each other a present? Or get
yes, we were given 5 shillings, and we had to go and buy each other. We had to buy, I had to buy 5 presents. We could make them ourselves and for our parents, but 5 shillings went a long way in those days.
Yeah.
And we had huge fun wrapping them up. That was the big thing, was to wrap. Mm. What have you given so-and-so and what's she got? It was very exciting. Mm. But Father Christmas, don't know that we had much to do with Father Christmas either. Mm. No.
What about Christmas trees?
That was put up on Christmas Eve, and it wasn't decorated until we'd all gone to bed.
Christmas Eve?
My parents, my mother decorated, my father didn't. But often they would have friends in for dinner on Christmas Eve. We'd be shut off to bed, and the friends would help decorate the tree. And in the morning we would go in, and it was huge, always a big one, and covered, and always had chocolate fish tied. We always had chocolate fish, and we always had dogs, little dogs, and they would have eaten all the chocolate for as high as they could reach until we learned what was going on.
I thought dogs aren't supposed to eat chocolate.
They're not.
They did, and they did very well, and they lived to a good old age.
Okay.
They're very healthy dogs.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Was the tree artificial or real?
Always a real tree.
Oh.
Always a real tree.
Yes, that's one thing I don't like about real trees, pine trees, branches of pine trees. I don't like the smell.
Oh, we loved it. Okay. Isn't that funny? Mm. We loved the smell of it.
Yeah. It's all the pine needles dropping
as well.
Yes. But later, I mean, when my children were young, we used to have a pine tree 1 year, and the following year we would have a manuka, because they're always flowering at this time of year.
Okay.
And they were beautiful, but they were, had walking sticks in them and all these little animal bugs and things roaming around inside the tree.
And all the Christmas lights on?
Christmas lights.
And other decorations you put up?
Yep. Yep. With the walking sticks.
Yep.
And we always used to get a parcel from my dad's mother who came, so the parcel would arrive, and so then the presents were put under the tree, and we were not supposed to, but we all did, was feeling the parcels to see if you could work out what was actually inside them.
And rattle
them? Yeah. But we were very, very good. We were never allowed to open them before Christmas. But it was a parcel that had arrived.
My daughter sent her daughter, who's in London at the moment, sent her a Christmas parcel with a whole lot of different things in it. And you can't just send it these days and put it on the outside gift. You've got to actually itemise everything that's in the parcel and the value of that item. And it cost her, I think, a few hundred dollars to send and then to send it to London. And then when it was received there, my granddaughter then had to go, and she had to pay some customs duty on it as well.
So this is quite recent, is it?
Yes, this year.
Yeah. Oh, this year, yeah.
Yeah.
That kills it, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah, well, I think the cost of postage, I think, is probably a lot higher.
It is.
And what was your Christmas, Stuart?
Well, I grew up in England, so we had Christmas in the middle of winter, in some ways, that was very good, because where I in the north of England, we get sort of months of it to be dark. Even going home from school, it to be dark, and often sort of rainy or cloudy, and the street lights on and so on. And sometimes even we didn't often get a white Christmas. Normally the snow came a bit later, but sometimes you get snow or sleet falling. And actually, at 4 or 5 o'clock at night, when you've got that happening, it's all very cold, and you're looking forward to actually, instead of it just being dark and wet, you've got the snow on the ground, and you can go sledging and things like that.
Did you go carol singing?
No, but there was, it was a big thing in the schools, I suppose. So a lot of the singing, I suppose, well, with the churches or church groups and things like that, there'd be those things going on. The atmosphere of it was very much something you felt, especially, you know, you've gone into I think there was probably the idea, you've got something to brighten up the darkest, dullest time of the year, and so on. So, it was something that you'd really look forward to.
Yeah, yeah.
And we got stockings, and we'd have a Christmas tree and other decorations up, and then presents under the tree to open at different times through the day.
All right. Did you decorate your Christmas tree earlier or on Christmas?
We had it up for a while. And then I think the idea was that everything's supposed to come down on the 12th day of Christmas, so you keep it
absolutely
up for that length of time. But we'd have all the Christmas tree lights and things. So, yeah, just the general atmosphere of it. But it was also very much given the weather. It was an indoor family thing, rather than going out and mixing with lots of people. Like, so, you know, you got going around the shops and stuff. There was a big Christmas atmosphere with that. Yeah, so it was a nice way of brightening up the year. But you've got Christmas and then you've got New Year coming. But for me, it was always, in fact, right into my adult life, the whole idea of going, the time from Christmas to New Year was a time out. It was a different time to the rest of the year. You're in a different headspace. And so on. It was just something quite separate. Except then I came here just before they opened up all the shops for the weekend shopping and then allowing the Boxing Day sales and so on. And so instead of it being this really peaceful alternative time, suddenly everyone was dashing into the shops. So unless you stay well clear of it, your whole Christmas mood has almost disappeared after one day, because everyone's going looking for bargains and things.
I think for us, living in the country on a farm, you're working the whole way through. You're just continuing. Christmas Day is fun. We all loved it, and the little bit of preparation when we were children. But we all had our jobs to do, and so it wasn't like a holiday time.
Now that's another aspect, probably, about England in winter, because another thing that surprised me coming here, because you've got in spring you get your garden set up, you enjoy it through summer, it dies down in the autumn, and you have nothing to do with it through winter. You know, so it winter, in fact, traditionally, I suppose, it was sort of the downtime. That's when people might have mended things and done some knitting and sit around the fire. And when I was young, we actually had a coal fire and we were doing the roast chestnuts on the coal fire and so on. Then they brought in something called smokeless zone, so you're no longer allowed to use the coal, which was actually, and so, which was a shame, because the coal fires were very nice. But at the same time, it meant suddenly the air was that much clearer. When I was young, we get the, not just the fogs, but the smogs with all the soot in the air and so on. And all that disappeared when they moved on to smokeless zones. I mean, the cities were still hazy compared to New Zealand. You know, here the air's all very clear and the light's bright and so on.
And you can hear for miles.
It was quite different. And we'd make snowmen. Soon as once there was snow, we'd make snowmen. Yeah. And we'd have icicles hanging down from the guttering.
I often wondered if we should change Christmas to June in New Zealand, when it's not busy and it is winter time and you're not busy.
Well, there are people who do the midwinter Christmas, aren't there?
Yes,
it's just a short celebration. Apparently, it messed up things for the New Zealand summer as well, because the best months of summer here are February. Well, February, that's the best settled weather, when all the children are back at school. But you had to have the break over Christmas, unless you make it just a short break and straight back to school or something. But
hasn't that been muted lately?
I think it has.
They do, I don't know.
No.
Well, if we become more secular, and then we just set up some totally different holidays to fill in the time.
But it was a very happy time. We were children, six of us, and it was a very happy time. Apart from my father not liking any of it.
Did you find family got together much then? But if you're all farming, then you're all stuck on your farms, weren't you?
We didn't have many family here. It was us.
But what about contact with family overseas then?
Oh yes, there was. Well, you couldn't ring them, of course, like you do now.
Yeah.
And also, we had an egg timer at the time to how long you're allowed to talk for. And of course, by the time you talked about the weather and how are you, well, the time sand's gone.
It's 3 minutes.
It's gone.
That's a good point, actually, about telephone calls, because you had to book your telephone call.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
And then stand by the phone to wait for it to ring and say your call's through now.
And we had the old wind-up thing, of course, and the party line.
So everyone else is listening.
Well, that's when you had the different rings, of course.
We had long, short, long. 603X was our number. But it was exciting. We loved it.
Yeah. The other thing I can remember is Dad's production of the Christmas pudding. Because it was his, it definitely was his thing.
Yeah.
But, and it was always flamed. But Dad was very careful because we never worked out. Everybody always got a threepence.
But a silver coin, yes.
A threepence, yes. Sometimes sixpence, if you're very lucky. But Dad took the Christmas pudding, he cut little slits in it all the way round, so the coins were not cooked in the pudding. He inserted them, and when he was carving it, he could see where the slits were, so he could make sure that every portion got at least one coin.
Yeah.
Which
was clever. So that was... but. And we never knew that as kids. It was much later that we found that this is what Dad actually did.
Mm.
But, yeah. And at one point, there was also a set of Christmas charms that were also in the Christmas pudding.
Oh, yes.
You got it, and you had it, but you had to give it back at the end of the day.
Mm.
The Christmas charm one was on loan because you didn't buy a new set every year, but you got to keep the money.
Nowadays they're a health hazard, aren't they? You could choke on them or...
Yeah. That would be right.
Well, they were silver coins, weren't they,
that's one of the reasons why you... Mum and Dad didn't like actually cooking them in it because I think they were concerned, even though they were actually silver coins, that they could have contaminated the cake. So that's why they were always inserted. But it also meant it was easy to make sure that everyone got a soup, got a piece.
Well, I remember as well the one aspect of the Christmas food was all the English-style sort of Christmas dinner and so on, and you'd have the Christmas pudding, the Christmas cake, and we didn't... A lot of people would have turkey, but we used to use geese or a goose, because I think probably it wasn't quite as dry as turkey. But then coming here, and I thought, well, it might be nice for my children to see what the English-style Christmas is, but, of course, with Christmas here being in the middle of summer, that sort of food is just way too heavy for them. They're just, you don't want a Christmas pudding in the middle of the day.
We always had roast chicken. We didn't have roast turkey.
Well, we did have the traditional Christmas dinner. But we all loved it. We all ate everything and everything.
So what about hams here? Because they're very common here, aren't they?
Ham.
That seems to be the more common Christmas thing.
It is, I think, yeah.
And do people... I know you could eat them sort of straight as they are, or you could eat them... What do you do?
You cook them.
So most people cook the Christmas ham?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah.
I do. Hot.
Mm. Hot ham. Very nice. Very popular.
Yeah.
But we also, we're going to be quite a big party this year, so one of my sons is doing lamb. He's going to put all these lovely gooey bits on the outside, and he's going to barbecue a whole lamb. Which will be nice for change.
Yeah.
I heard that lamb is more popular this year than ham is. I heard on the news.
Beef is very expensive. Compared with porkers.
Yeah, pork's often the cheap one. Pork leg roast. That's good value.
No, so lamb seems to be the thing in this year for Christmas.
One of my jobs when I was working in broadcasting in the 1950s, in those days I worked at a shortwave receiving station near Wellington because there's no such thing as satellites and submarine cables and that sort of thing. And all the news and radio from overseas came in by shortwave. So one of the jobs that we had to do was to receive the Queen's Christmas message.
Yes.
And that would be broadcast throughout New Zealand. Mm. And that was an important occasion for us. We had to make sure that got through.
Everything stopped for the message.
Yes.
It did. The King's message and then the Queen's. Gosh, I've forgotten about that.
I think a big thing for us on, because we had television then when I was young in Britain, because it came in later here.
But there'd be
all sorts of films on Christmas. And so the be good things, sort of fun things to watch on television.
We were so busy playing with our toy, whatever the thing was we've got, we were so busy playing with that we didn't think about it. It certainly wasn't on television.
No.
It was a long time ago.
Well, it's one of the things they're saying now about the different sort of young people now, especially with all the IT and phones and YouTube and stuff, they're not used to boredom and finding ways to entertain yourself and the pace of everything. You need immediate stimulus. So quite different.
Yes. Yeah. I can remember coming back from going with Mother to church, and my youngest brother was sitting on the front step of the veranda, and he had his toys that came in his stocking, and he was saying, "Happiness, happiness, happiness." And he was about 3 years old. It was, I have never forgotten my brother George saying, "Happiness, happiness, happiness."
So was the argument here a standard, almost probably a school essay sort of thing? Has Christmas become too commercialised? And this was in the 1960s.
Oh, was it?
Was that view here, or
I think it's an on and off sort of thing. People bring it up occasionally and forget about it, and a couple of years later they talk about it again.
I know even some children brought up in specifically Christian households and say, "What do you like about Christmas?" "Oh, the presents." So what about New Year then? Was that big for you here? Or
I can remember trying to stay up for the clock to tick over. But wasn't a sort of a thing you went out anywhere to do at that point. It was just from at home.
Yeah. When did people have their summer holidays then? Were people, I think they talk about Christmas at the beach or things like that?
We'd be at the beach or the lake.
Yeah, as soon as school broke up.
We certainly had holidays at Rotorua, just south of Nelson, I suppose, Nelson National Park. And had the most fabulous holidays up there. It wasn't until later in January when most of the work had been done. Weeding by hand, paddocks of stock for the cattle. We weren't allowed to go on holiday until we'd weeded that whole paddock. And six children.
What sort of weeding were you doing?
I can't remember. It was just weeding.
With a hoe, you had big weeds coming up?
The crop or whatever it was had been planted, but of course the weeds come up. We didn't spray in those days, I suppose. I don't know. So my father said until that paddock had been weeded.
I have enough trouble weeding my rose bed. You weed a whole paddock.
We did. There were six, there were five. My younger sister was too young, but the rest of us did. Yeah. Down on our hunkers, weeding.
Wow.
Didn't go on holiday till that paddock had been weeded. Sunburn and all, I tell you, it was a hard life.
So now, were they concerned about melanoma and all that sunscreen and hats and things?
No. Used to put calamine lotion on our sunburnt limbs, but gee, we got burnt.
Yeah, I used to kite about it. Oh, look at the sunburn I got yesterday.
So, but New Year came and went. We didn't. I think we were so busy. It wasn't until later, when we were the, undisciplined youth.
Yeah.
We used to go out, and I can remember swimming at Tahuna Beach after 1 o'clock and looking at all the phosphorescence in the water. It was brilliant. It was beautiful. But apart from that, we didn't really celebrate New Year.
Yeah. No, so for the Scots, it was a big thing. Hogmanay.
Well, Hogmanay, that's right, yes. Yeah.
First footing.
So you find probably Dunedin and Invercargill, they're big on the New Year.
Probably. Yes.
I wonder what percentage of the world population celebrates Christmas.
Well,
I was in Malaysia one Christmas, and it was very hot then, and it's a Muslim country, but you go in the stores and the supermarkets, and they had one poor staff member dressed up as Father Christmas. Must be hot as anything. But it's a bit like we've taken on Halloween and various... I think it's good that we're picking up Diwali and things like that.
Isn't Christmas more a Christian thing than...
Well, Christmas is... Yeah, precisely. It's a Christian...
Celebration.
festival, yeah. But they were, I think, if it's commercial and you can sell stuff, then
I think it's more the I don't think the Christian aspect of it is what's publicised in the in shops, is it?
No.
It's the decorations and the
But I mean, actually having Christmas as a celebration. Do the Muslims celebrate?
No, of course they don't. Obviously it's not a religious festival for them, but whether some of them would say, well, you know, all the kids at school are getting presents now, we'll get some presents
for them as well.
Now the Jewish children would be okay because they've got Hanukkah at the same time, you see.
Oh, right, double whammy.
Well, no, they just get one, but
okay, call it what you like.
Yes, that's interesting.
Because this time of the year, there's lots of different nationalities in New Zealand doing things like working on orchards, fruit picking, and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And do they stop to celebrate Christmas? Probably not. Maybe just Christmas Day and then back to work again.
Depends on the employers, I suppose. Yeah, well, mind you, if legally it's a public holiday and they should be paid time and a half or double time or something.
Yeah. But the holiday aspect of it would mean they'd have the day off rather than any celebration.
But, so how did you feel when they started having all these Boxing Day sales? And
we didn't have them in my day.
That's what I mean. So you were used to not having them.
Still don't.
And then when they're brought in, you just ignore them.
It's all been overshadowed now by this Black Friday business, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
It took up most of November.
Yes, it did. Yeah. I think some of the family do go off. If you give the grandchildren any money, they rush off on Boxing Day to the sales.
So I'm not sure if there were. Sometimes I get the impression the Boxing Day sales start a week or so before Christmas.
I think the technically correct sort of saying Christmas, Boxing Day sales is no longer an actual day thing. It is just commercialisation, isn't it?
I wonder if we're losing, we're just about at time, but I wonder if we're losing some of the community feel with this. I mean, because I think, would the churches have been a big part of Christmas for you?
For me, they were. Well, my mother took us all off to the cathedral in Nelson.
No, not for me.
We had to do... And we had stockings before then, we had breakfast when we came home, because you had breakfast food afterwards. And then it was into doing all our chores and everything before we were allowed to open our presents. So Christmas
good
was...
Good discipline, yes.
We were disciplined.
Yeah. I do recall the older members of my family, they'd go to church on Christmas Day, but they'd leave my grandmother at home because she had to do the Christmas dinner.
That's not fair. Well, poor grandma.
But for some as well, there was the midnight mass, wasn't there?
Yeah, the night before.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz. If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.